You're listening to Joe McGee.
Doesn't matter. Everybody that comes up for questions and answers in the prayer line always usually has the basic of the same question. I need prayer for my son, my daughter, my husband, and wife, because they don't think right or they don't act right.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh and learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
We're going to talk today about why good thinking matters. You know, every problem we've ever dealt with in family, in our family seminars, whether it's marriage building, parenting 101, man, lover, leader, provider, parenting teens, 8 things no kid should leave home without, doesn't matter. Everybody that comes up for questions and answers in the prayer line always usually has the basic of the same question. I need prayer for my son, my daughter, my husband, and wife, because they don't think right or they don't act right. So why do they act the way they act? What do I need to do? How do I counter this? How do I take care of it? And the bottom line I usually tell people is people think the way they or act the way they act because that's the way they think. They have allowed themselves to think on the wrong thing. We talked the last time in one of our classes, we talked about how it's a lot of stuff. It's your self-image, what the world's trying to put into you, what you feed on in the world, your past. The devil brings up your past. You let the devil accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren. We talked about when he lies, he speaks his native language, and how you've got to control your thought life. We're supposed to control our speed limit when we're on the highway, control other things about our flesh and so forth. We don't think about controlling our mind. We just sort of think that, it just does what it does, and that's not true. The Bible is real clear that we can control what we think about. That's why the Bible says in Philippians to think on these things and don't think on other things and cast certain thoughts down. And Proverbs 4 says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So if you're a parent, that means you've got to put some kind of guards to what we just feed on in the home. Because the quality of our life is based on how we think. And if you want to change your life in any way, if you're dealing with something, struggle, maybe you got some habit, some addiction, you got anger, whatever it is, the only way you'll change your current habit is to change the way you think. You've got to change your thinking. That's why Romans 12:2 talks about renewing our mind with the Word of God. That we've got to get new thought processes. Matthew 12:34-35 talks about how good men out of the good treasure of his heart will birth good things in his life, but an evil man out of the evil treasure will birth evil things. That life and death are in the power of the tongue. That we control our whole life. James says, my tongue sets the whole course of my life on fire from hell itself. I've got to control what I say. Well, it's sort of a paradox because it also says in the same book of James that no human can tame the tongue. But if you go on and read it in the context, it talks about the reason is the tongue is a reflection of what's in my heart. So what it's telling me is if I want to increase the quality of my life, what I'm expecting to happen in my life, what I'm looking for, I've got to change the way I think. It's a law. It works like gravity. So you got to guard your heart. You got to feed it the right information. It's just like the old computer thing, garbage in, garbage out. What am I thinking about? What am I feeding on? If I had somebody to write a transcript for the last 24 hours of my life, what have I listened to, looked at, watched, read that's going to improve my life in some measure? Have I looked at and fed on unbelief or doubt or fear or just garbage or stupidity? Then what I load in enough of, that's what I'll meditate on. That's what I'll think about. What I think about is what I will eventually have and do. People get what they think about. We talked about some of the old TV programs out of the 60s, how we'd sing those crazy songs, that gloom, despair, and misery on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And we laugh at those things, but I'm going to tell you how powerful they really are in our life. That's why you're to watch who you listen to. The Proverbs 14:7 said, go from the presence of a foolish man if you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. In other words, if he's talking stupidity, find someplace else to go. Don't sit there and let him load you up with that stuff. That's why Philippians is so critical about guard what you think about. Because what you think about is what you'll eventually do. That's why if you want to mark somebody in a conversation, just get them talking. You know, just get them to talk. People love to talk about themselves, whatever they're afraid of or what they have anxiety about, what they're concerned. You know, they'll talk. They'll talk right out of their mouth. So that's why conversation is so important. You know, you need to get tools to carry on good conversations. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth except that which ministers grace to the hearer. In other words, if it's not going to minister grace, don't feed it to them, because you sure don't want a crop of that coming back on you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together. Don't sow it. And it's like our mothers used to tell us, you know, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything, kind of a thing. So what we want to talk about today, we're going to give you the flip side of what we've been talking about what's on our mind. And I tell people, you know, you get somebody in a conversation, you know, I travel a lot and you meet people that you don't know, but you get in a conversation with them, how you doing, where you going, what's your name, so forth. And they'll talk about maybe a job, their wife, you know, one of their children, teenagers, their finances, their health. They'll talk about what they're concerned about. And so you ask, well, what have you been reading, you know, that to counter that or to encourage in some way? And I found out when people get to thinking negative, it's sort of like a downhill slide. It's like knocking over one domino. They all start to fall unless you on purpose try to change that. In one of our classes we taught some time back, we talked about how great relationships were no accident. If somebody has a great relationship in their life, it's because they're doing something on purpose. People who have great relationships, it's not an accident, because anything on this planet left to itself goes downhill. Anything. Government. Humans, flesh, your front yard, your backyard, your car, your house, anything you don't put constant attention into will deteriorate. It will not get better. Your house won't paint itself. Your car won't make itself newer every day. It's getting more wore out and rusted. The tires are going bald. Hot water heater's wearing. Everything in our life is in a constant state of wearing out. So what we don't put aggressive attention into is going the wrong direction, including relationships. So that's the same thing with our mind. You know, I don't have the same desires I had when I was 16, 17 years of age. What I thought was important at 17, I don't think is important today. You know, you ever notice when you're a young kid, you know, you need an army to make you eat your broccoli. I don't want to eat broccoli, and I don't want to eat cabbage, and I don't want to eat spinach. I don't want anything that's got the color green in it. What is that? But you know, you get older, man, I love boiled cabbage day. Put a little bacon in there. I love spinach. Can't eat enough of it. Broccoli, man, I just love broccoli. You can just big old pan of steamed broccoli. I sit underneath it up by itself. It's like, boy, well, my mama would be proud today, but she couldn't make it because what's important today is not the same thing that's important, you know, years ago. Life changes. Things go through changes. And what happens? You got to change the way you think. What was important, you know, in 1950s, not what's important today. What was important in 1930s, not what's important today. The world changes. So you got to constantly change the way you think. So we're going to talk about why good thinking matters. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Talks about, says in the New King James, says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, so you got to guard. That means I am what I think about. That's why if you meet successful people think different. They got different thought processes going through their mind. One study recently said that we are one of the most depressed nations in the industrialized world. Here we are, the richest nation on the face of the planet, yet we're one of the most depressed. Now, why is that? When there's so much around, so many opportunities, so many blessings, why are people so... Well, that's how they see it. Everybody sees things through their own eyes. What do you see? You know, that's why we talked about self-image being so important in your past, about getting your past past. Get over it. And you can't build your future looking over your shoulder, so to speak.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message.
What I thought was important at 17, I don't think is important today. You know, you ever notice when you're a young kid, you know, you need an army to make you eat your broccoli. I don't want to eat broccoli, and I don't want to eat cabbage, and I don't want to eat spinach. I don't want anything that's got the color green in it. What is that? But you know, when you get older, man, I love boiled cabbage day. Put a little bacon in there. I love spinach. Can't eat enough of it. Broccoli, man, I just love broccoli. You just big old pan of steamed broccoli. I sit there and eat up by itself. It's like, boy, well, my mama would be proud today, but she couldn't make it because what's important today is not the same thing that's important, you know, years ago. Life changes. Things go through changes. And what happens? You got to change the way you think. What was important, you know, in 1950s, not what's important today. What was important in 1930s, not what's important today. The world changes, so you got to constantly change the way you think. So we're going to talk about why good thinking matters. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Talks about, says in the New King James, says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." You know, so you got to guard. That means I am what I think about. That's why if you meet successful people think different. They got different thought processes going through their mind. One study recently said that we are one of the most depressed nations in the industrialized world. Here we are, the richest nation on the face of the planet, yet we're one of the most depressed. Now, why is that? When there's so much around, so many opportunities, so many blessings, why are people so... Well, that's how they see it. Everybody sees things through their own eyes. What do you see? You know, that's why we talked about self-image being so important in your past, about getting your past passed. Get over it. And you can't build your future looking over your shoulder, so to speak. We want to give you five things about why good thinking matters. Five reasons why good thinking matters. Number one, everything in my life begins with a thought. Everything begins with a thought. Look at this, Romans 12, verse 2. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know, if I'm going to do something different, get a new job, go on a vacation, do some project at home, I got to think about it first. If you're going to get married, you don't just get up one day, "Well, I'm going to get married today." You know, it's going to start with the thought process. Well, I'd like to. I got to find a date, you know, get somebody to go out with you. Everything you do in your life begins with a thought. So what's going on in your life? You know, most people could look at us and say, "Well, if your life's a result of what you've been thinking, you're not thinking much." You know, that's sort of a sad commentary. If the culmination of your life today is a result of what you've been thinking, you might want to change what you're thinking. You might want to start feeding on something positive. Of course, the greatest thing to feed on is the Word of God. It tells us who we are in Christ, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, that we're going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which was poverty, sickness, and death, that God wants us to fear Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom, Proverbs 3:16, brings long life, riches, and honor, that God wants us to be happy. Seven times in Proverbs said, "I want you to be happy. Happy is the man that finds me and finds wisdom." Live long, be prosperous, bring honor to the family name. Surrounds us with a shield of divine favor, Psalms 5:12. Psalms 91, surrounded by the angels of God that keep us from all the evil that's in the world and from the devil himself. You know, the more you read the Word of God, you know, the more you'll think more highly of yourself than probably what you are right now. You need to think different about yourself because you're going somewhere to be a blessing. I used to say it this way: you're going to walk into the room and either need the miracle or you're going to walk into the room and be the miracle. Now, which one do you think would be better? You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I've got to change my thinking. I've got to make a determination. I, as an individual, am going to control my thought life, what I will think about. It's going to affect my wife, my children, my children's children, and all those in my household. You want to always leave something better than you find it. You ever had somebody that you meet, and boy, when you leave, you feel so much better about yourself because they made a good deposit into your life? Maybe it's because they were thinking different. Or you met somebody, and after talking with them, you felt like somebody put a 2-ton wet blanket on you. It's like to suck the oxygen out of the air, like to smother you. Well, that's not somebody that brought you anything good. You know, the Bible says that how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know, you bring good news, you bring bad news. Well, it depends on what you've been feeding on. Everything begins with a thought. Got to start renewing your mind. Get you some new thoughts. New thoughts lead to new words. New words lead to new friends, new life, new outlook. Number two, what we think determines how we feel. We talked about before about being one of the most depressed nations in the face of the planet and, you know, and how many pills people are popping trying to make themselves feel better. Look at this scripture. I like this. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure and lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. You want peace, and you watch what you think about. You know, people can work themselves up into a frenzy. You know, the Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail for fear of things coming up on the earth. You know, you can see that enough today. I mean, if you want to find something negative, all you got to do is pick up and just start reading enough news. Because good news doesn't sell. Bad news sells. Good news doesn't travel. Bad news travels. So most of what you're going to hear is bad news. So where's the good news? Well, that's why the Bible's called good news. It's the New Testament. It's a good covenant. It's like we are the salt. We are the light. We are something. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're something good going somewhere to happen. You know, it's not some Pollyanna thing. It is the Word of God. And so what happens is how you feel is basically when you think. Maybe you're not thinking right. You know, the devil, he'll come and lie to you. You know, I'm never going to get a raise. I don't think my kids are ever going to stop rebelling. You know, I don't think this marriage is going to work out. You know, I think that car is going to fall apart before I can afford a new one. And you can just get yourself, you know, and it doesn't change. That's why the Bible says, what man can add a day to his life? You know, by allowing himself to worry, taking thought, being anxious for these things. That's why we're to roll our cares over on the Lord, for he cares for us. He doesn't want us anxious about anything. I was doing a men's retreat one time, and a guy, we had finished up after 3 days, and it was early in the morning. We're getting ready to go back into town. We've been at this big retreat, and about 93 men had been out there. And so we pretty much stacked all the chairs. We were in a giant pavilion that had a roof and no sides on it. So the acoustics were wonderful. You could just talk in a low voice, and your voice would echo across that whole pavilion. We didn't even need a sound system. And so we're drinking the last of the coffee. We've loaded everything up in the vans. We've had a wonderful 3 days just teaching and fellowship and just hanging out, going fishing and floating down a river and talking about God and what he's doing in our life and what we need to do to get better. And all of a sudden, as we're drinking the last of the coffee, a man in a group all the way across the pavilion made a statement about the same time everybody else stopped talking. Here's what he said. He didn't mean for everybody to hear it. He just meant for the men in his little group to hear it. They were just sitting around talking, drinking coffee. And he said, you know, my wife's not pretty anymore. And all of a sudden, it just got real quiet. And he realized that everybody had heard what he said. Oh, he's just devastated. And nobody moved. Nobody just got froze all of a sudden. And this elderly gentleman from another group walked across the floor to him and pulled out a little pocket Bible and walked up to him and said, well, now you know, son, according to Ephesians chapter 5, she is what you've made her. He said, really? I said, what do you mean? He said, you know what makes a woman ugly? I said, no, sir. He said, worry. Worry makes a woman ugly. So the Bible says Jesus presented his bride to himself, a beautiful bride, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing, by washing her with the water of the Word. That's what it says in the Bible. He says, here's what Jesus said to his bride. Do you have any cares? Are you anxious about anything? Then please roll those over me, for I don't want you to be care-ridden, care burden. I don't want you to be anxious, laying awake at night, waking up in a cold sweat. Don't do that. Give that to me. I'll take care of that. And all of a sudden he said, is your wife worried about anything? And the man said, my wife's worried about everything. He said, that's the problem. It's your job to take that worry off of her. And it's amazing how the devil can come and lie. That's why we need one another. That's why Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. Because I'm telling you what, isolation, you get by yourself and you don't have good friends around you to speak in your life, you'll start thinking stupid. You'll start thinking some crazy thoughts. You'll start thinking, because he'll lie. And all of a sudden, if you get threads of thoughts, eventually they'll come out of your mouth. If you've got a good friend, they can say, what are you talking about? What are you thinking? You don't need to be thinking that way. And it takes good friends. That's why Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one, for if one falls, he's got somebody to help him up. That way, if you start thinking stupid, you got somebody else to help you. But I'm telling you, how you think determines how you feel, because you've always got hope. That's why Paul wrote, said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Said, I've been hungry. You know, I've been full. He said, I realize I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He said, doesn't matter where I am, whether I'm in a hole, in a prison, chained up on a boat, I know something. God's not going to leave me here. God had given him the promise that he would go to Rome and preach. And so when he was in that prison back, you know, hundreds of miles, he thought, this isn't Rome, and God won't leave me. That's why he could break out into a song, even though he's been illegally beaten. He's in the bottom of a dungeon, chained up, rats chewing on his toenails. And the Bible says he broke out into a song that night at midnight. Now, why did he feel different when everybody else is crying and lamenting what's going on? Because he knows something. God's not going to leave me here. So what he was thinking, you understand? What he was thinking changed how he felt. What he was thinking changed how he felt. So you got to control what you think about. Number three, our thoughts will determine our destiny. Our thoughts will determine our destiny. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 out of the New Living Translation says this. These who are dominated, watch this, by the sinful nature think about sinful things. People who are dominated by the sinful nature, they're going to think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, then there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, then there is life and peace. So how I think will determine my destiny. I'm either thinking about life or I'm thinking about death. The Bible talks a lot about diligence. It says the thoughts of a diligent man only tend to plenteousness. What does that mean? He's not thinking about lack, being busted, broke, or in poverty, rolled back, rolled away, rolled over, salary cut, you know, getting fired. He doesn't think that way. It's saying, God's my God. He surrounds me with the shield of divine favor. I'm going up and I'm going over. I'm going up the ladder. My greatest days are ahead of me, not behind me. And so his thought life begins to determine his destiny. We all know it. We all know people at work that are very optimistic. You know something? Bosses like optimistic people. There's no saying. Somebody who says it can't be done is usually passed up by somebody doing it. There's always the naysayers at work. Well, we can't fix it. It can't be done. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. There's not enough this. They won't let us do it. And there's always that one individual that comes along and for some reason he finds a way to get it done. There's always somebody in the crowd that'll find a way to get it done. I'm telling you, those are the people that get promoted. You know why? Because they're better, they're smarter, got a higher IQ. No, they just, their attitude's different. They think different. Got different thought life. You got to let God control your thought life. So it controls your destiny. Number four, talking about why good thinking matters. Very successful people think differently than other people do. Very successful people think different. If you've ever been around a very successful businessman, husband, father, minister, they think different. They're incredibly optimistic. Again, it's not a Pollyanna thing. They have belief that things, that their best days are yet to come. There's a great scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. And it says this, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them and his work and his lot in this life, this is a gift from God. For that man seldom reflects on the past days of his life, for God keeps him occupied with gladness of thought and gladness of life. In other words, he's thinking, there are no good old days in my past, because my greatest days are ahead of me. See, God himself will keep you occupied with gladness of thought. What is it? Man, God's got me so excited about tomorrow.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
Talking about 8 things no kids should leave home without. We're talking about organizational skills and time management as it pertains to your job. Guys, all of us have been through this, everybody. We worked for a company, maybe it was good, maybe it wasn't good, but good can go bad, bad can go good. It's moving all the time. Nothing stands still, nothing. I mean, technology's changing. Man, we're in the computer age, the space age, and the way we did things 10 years ago is not the way we do them today. You know, you gotta keep changing how you do things and learning. I've been through so many organizations, both in the electrical industry, on church staffs, and our own personal family, where you realize, you know, organization is real important. I remember one time money was tight. We've had 2 layoffs. The
big electrical company that we had, and we were trying to figure out, man, we got to do this better. What is it? Well, number one, we had no set job descriptions. We got two or three people doing the same job and not very good. Or one's doing it, one's undoing it by redoing it. I thought, that's not going to work. Let's sit down and find out, what do we need to make this company function? Now, it's not personality, because we like everybody. Maybe you don't like some as much, but what do we need to make this function? So we hired some outside people that came in for about 3 days. What does it take to make this run? And we realized, man, we're wasting a lot of time. We're wasting a lot of stuff. And then all of a sudden, the company that came in to help us better with our personnel went to our warehouse. And they noticed there are a lot of reels of wire out there with a lot of dust on them. Well, yeah, that's some Romex 12-2 or some big 8-gauge stuff that we made. What are you doing with it? Well, we made it to sell. Well, obviously it didn't sell. Well, it's not as popular now, people aren't buying it. Well, what are you doing with it? We're storing it in our warehouse, and so we're paying to heat it and cool it and protect it, and it's not making us any money. He said, you need to chop that up for scrap, at least get that out of here, and we'll save on your heat and air conditioning bill. And you know, we did. You know, one of the things that's real efficient about Walmart, if you ever read much about them, is they don't put anything on the shelf that's not moving. Now, there's a lot of stores like Walmart that have been around a long time. I remember it was Christmas time, I'd gone in to visit with family, and we're gonna have a big ball game out there at Christmas time. Well, no, we didn't have the gloves. Let's go down here to the big superstore and get some ball gloves. Well, I walk into Walmart, the big superstore, they have no ball gloves. I said, you don't have any baseball gloves? And they said, it's not baseball season. You know, it's football season, we have football. Yeah, but this is a superstore. You don't have any ball gloves? No. You don't have any bats? We don't have any baseball. I'm like, well, how big? So we go down to the other superstore, which parking lot was about, maybe a 20th full. We walk in and go back, nice people, and there it is, a whole row of ball gloves and bats and baseballs. And I realized something, that's not good. You know why? Because they're not selling gloves, they're not selling bats, they're not selling balls, but they're paying to heat it, paying to air condition it. That's why eventually that store closed, because the profit margin went right through the bottom. If you don't keep organizing what you're doing and looking at it, you're doing something today that you don't need to do. You might even need to do it yesterday, but not today. You've got to constantly organizing what you do, looking at it on a regular basis, kind of remeasure. Start doing that. You'll be surprised how the profit margin will go up.
Call now, 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.